This is the Hans Shot First Podcast.
You don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in-depth about common movie moments
from my dead body.
With the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, Oscar.
Okay.
Welcome, everyone, to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week, we're talking about Encino Man.
Yeah, we are, buddy.
We did some watchage of a movie.
Oh!
This movie came out in 1992.
Yeah, it did.
How could you tell?
Directed by Les Mayfield, written by George Zaloom and Sean Schnipps, starring Sean Astin, Brendan Fraser, and Pauly Shore. Also others, Megan Ward, Robin Tunney, Michael DeLuise,
that's actually one of Dom DeLuise's kids.
Really?
Yeah.
And isn't that Jack Tunney's daughter?
Shush!
I'll tell you! Right?
I don't know what that is a reference to.
And we have Data, Ki Hwan Kwan, Richard Masur from The Thing.
And, I'm sure you guys spotted Rose McGowan.
Laura did. I didn't, but she pointed her out. Yeah.
She's in there a couple times for a few seconds.
Yeah. All right. This was my movie that I nominated.
It's my movie, buddy.
I actually saw this in the movie theater. Really enjoyed it. Now, I will say, like, when this came out, everyone had this everyone was talking about Pauly Shore. I did not know him from MTV. I just didn't watch whatever stupid show he had. But I still liked it. He's a little annoying in it, but whatever. I think the other guys, all three of them together, work pretty well. I'm sure if I saw this right now for the first time, I would think it's the stupidest thing ever. But, you know, growing up with it, this is right as I was entering high school. Yeah, I enjoyed it. And we'll talk about what holds up, what doesn't for me in this movie. But that's my history with it. Alex?
Yeah, I think I saw this in the movie theater, too. And I didn't have cable growing up, so I had no idea who this Pauly Shore guy was. But he was my favorite part back then.
All right. And Scott?
I also saw this in the theater and didn't really know what Encino was. Like, I might have been vaguely aware that it was someplace in California. You know, it's supposed to be the valley. I wonder, because just a little bit of trivia, outside of the U.S. it was called California Man. But I wonder, like, how many people in the U.S. even know where Encino would be?
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Like, we all lived in Southern California, and we vaguely know Encino. So, yeah, I don't know people who live anywhere outside, yeah.
If you've ever heard the term the valley, that's Encino.
Yeah. Wasn't, like, Raging Waters or Wild Rivers near there?
That's San Dimas.
Oh, okay. And then, yeah, with Napoleon.
Yeah, Wild Rivers was Irvine, and then Raging Waters was...
Yeah.
Yeah. Where the
that's
10,
why in this...
The 10, the 210 and the what? The 15 meme?
Something like that. But that's why in this, the valley, that's Magic Mountain. That's why they go there in this.
Right. I feel like that's far away, too, because that's in Ventura? And sorry, I'm sure people are fascinated.
Valencia.
Valencia. So I always get this confused. But yeah, Valencia is like in the middle of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's part of the valley, though, I think, technically.
Yeah, we're talking about California, man.
Yeah, California. But yeah, basically everything you guys just said about, you know, not really knowing Pauly Shore, you know, vaguely knowing who Sean Astin was from Goonies, or remembering like, oh yeah, that's the guy from Goonies.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
I remember going, he's going to be Samwise Gamgee.
Did not, I'm sure as a kid, I did not recognize that the guy was Data. Yeah. We failed to mention Patrick Van Horn is in this. He's one of the goons, I guess. One of the the villains, henchmen or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's the guy from Swingers, Sue.
Oh yeah,
it's funny because he's like taking everything super seriously in this movie. But anyway,
yeah.
Yeah, let's get into it.
That's a good point about Sean Astin. Yeah, because at this point, yeah, that's who I would have known from this. And I never saw Rudy when I was younger. I saw it later in life, so this might have been the only other thing I knew him from. And this is still almost 8 years before Lord of the Rings. So it was good to see him in this.
It's like, wow, that guy would make a great Hobbit.
An amazing Hobbit.
Yeah.
All right, as usual, we're just going to talk about seven items from the movie. I'll go first. The one thing, this movie has kind of creeped into pop culture recently with memes and GIFs and stuff, and I died when he waved and Sean Astin waves at the girl and Matt sticks his head and shakes his head. And when I saw it in the movie, I was like, oh my God, I forgot how hilarious that was. So
that was inspired filmmaking right there. It's like lightning in a bottle. There's no way the cinematographer or director could ever capture anything as good as that ever again.
It's that head coming out of the side of the screen. Mm-hmm. Shakes it away. So, yes. The GIF, the waving GIF, whatever, scene in this movie cracks me up. Alex, which number seven?
My number seven is that Sean Astin's character, Dave, is a creep.
Creep, yeah.
I have it higher on my list. He's not a good guy.
Yeah.
He's not like a villain, but he's not a good guy.
No. I mean, I guess he becomes a little bit better, but yeah, not cool. I'll let Scott talk more about this creep later.
Yeah. Okay, then Scott, number seven.
Number seven, this is probably the biggest laugh for me the entire movie was the very end when they're at the party and they notice the mud fingerprints and the mud boob shape on the glass. The fact that they did the boobs cracked me up. It makes no sense, but it's hilarious.
Oh, they'd be muddy too.
I mean, I get the joke, but like... anyways, Mud Boobs is Mud my number boobs. Seven.
Nice. Mud Boobs playing Coachella this year.
Well, speaking of boobs, how about ketchup and mustard boobs? This whole scene of Blades, which cracks me up. The fact that this rink is where all the cool people go and play in the valley in Southern California in 92. What the fuck, man? The guys are out there playing with like gloves and nothing else.
Yeah, what the hell are they even doing out there? They're playing like broom, like what's
that? I don't know. They're playing a game of shinny or something. I don't know, but something that doesn't happen pickleball. In Southern California.
Whoa! What's the name of this game?
Shinny. Is it pickleball? Oh, shinny.
Shinny.
You want to get sued?
Anyway, sorry. I'm pretty sure that's a slur.
Hey, blame the Canadians.
Anyway,
that's what they do when the guys go out and play on this pond, and they have their sticks and gloves. That's about it, and you can't lift the puck, and no checking and stuff like that.
Okay,
there's no goalies; you're just shooting at a little spot. And I believe
shining.
I believe I'm saying that correctly. Correct me if I'm wrong, Canadians.
Jeff@gmail.com.
But just the fact that they're playing Blade, I don't know, it's so ridiculous for Southern California. And as a person who does play hockey in Southern California, that's not where the cool people go, and especially not in 92. I mean, Gretzky had only been here for like 2 years. The Ducks don't even exist at this point. Like, it's so early on. But anyway.
You didn't live in Encino.
On Alex's behalf, I would like to acknowledge that Jeff was an expert of all things cool in 1992.
Yeah, well, I know what it wasn't.
Yep.
Wait a minute, I went to hockey rinks.
Yeah, there wasn't hockey rinks in 92 here. There was like three.
Those rinks, yeah. I vaguely remember going ice skating somewhere in like Riverside.
Disney Ice. I went to skate there once.
Well, there was one in the valley. There's Isoplex owned by Robitaille. I wonder if that's where they were at. I've only been there once or twice, but it was way out. It was out there like near Magic Mountain and stuff. So maybe that's where they were at. All right, anyway, Alex, number two, or number, sorry, six.
Number six is, with Jeff and his brother Brian's recommendation, I watched, was it Dumpster Fire? The Woodstock documentary?
Okay.
Right?
I forgot the name of it, but
yeah, but when they described like diving in mud near the porta potties, and it's like, what are you idiots doing?
Oh, yeah.
That's all shit mud. And I couldn't help but be reminded of that when everybody was jumping into that giant mud pool that they dug out with concrete.
Oh, man. Everybody's got worms.
I
have so much more to say about the pool.
Everybody's got worms.
Everybody's got worms. Oh, my gosh.
You got prehistoric worms.
Dissidio. There's no cure for that.
There's probably, like, the plague that came out of that ice, too.
Mm-hmm. I think it's more unbelievable that homeboy dug a pool by himself with a shovel.
I Jeff, I believe me, I was thinking about that the whole movie. Mm-hmm. I have so many problems with that.
Whatever. Well, maybe he was digging out his hobbit hole. That's how.
Mm.
Yeah, that's,
if the main premise of the movie is more absurd, then you have to let it go. So the fact that there's a frozen caveman in his backyard.
I don't think it is. I think the pool thing. Anyway, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
All right. So Alex number. Sorry, Scott number six.
I'm number six. So this movie is rife with like 90s bullshit. Late, especially that weird period where. Still trying to fight its way out of the 80s. Of course, some of the hair was kicking my ass, but
mm-hmm.
the best of it, besides like how, like I love the way they dress up Brendan Fraser in this movie, by the way. But the hip hop kids.
Oh God!
How the one guy has the price tag hanging off of the side. It's like, oh God, talk about anachronism. Yeah,
that like, kind of still was a thing for a long time, though.
I mean, we still do it with the stupid sticker thing, which I don't. Old man, right here. I do not understand why people leave the stickers on the caps. Yeah, I don't get that at all. But just the way they're dressed, I guess generic. I don't even know what the hell they're listening to, but the overalls and the hat. Oh, man. That was... Whew.
Don't you remember in high school, there was the guys who had the boombox in their lockers and were just dancing?
Yep, there's that, too. That was weird. I will forgive that, like, they, along with half the other kids at the school, like, they're 25 at least. Like, those guys look like they were 30 in their 30s, but the skateboarding dudes look like they were in their 30s.
Sharing earbuds. Skaters do.
Yeah, like the can only afford one. Well, there was no such thing as stereo back then, so it was
fine. Yeah, it's all mono.
But anyways, yeah, just the hip hop kids.
Alright, my number five is the whole convenience store Wheeze the Juice scene.
No Wheezing the Juice.
So stupid. With Wheezing the Juice. Thank you, Pauly Shore. Mm-hmm. Just the whole thing. But I do remember as a kid one time going to the movie theater and we tried to do, okay, we gotta get sweet tarts, milk duds, everything but the burrito we got. And I remember not feeling too good afterwards. So
did you get Doritos?
You're not from Estonia.
Of course.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but they were eating Doritos.
A lot.
I will not bug to any sponsor.
Which I find hilarious. But the convenience store was like no-named store. Like it wasn't like...
I thought Circle K or 7-Eleven. I thought Icy's were like a trademark thing, right?
Yeah. With that polar bear with the turtle.
Yeah. To like one of those stores, right?
I hope they have Icy's.
But the store itself was not... Could have sworn they would have gone to a Circle K or a 7-Eleven or an AMPM or something, right? Like, instead it was just generic.
I would have guessed that, yeah, they would have been a Circle K because of the icy.
They didn't want to be associated with a monster movie. So.
I guess.
Yeah. But yeah, the whole Wheezing the Juice and the stereotypical, I guess, guys behind the convenience store thing is like that. But, I don't know, freaking hilarious. And then him coming back with the stupid T2. Remember, this came out just the year after T2, so I'll be back. Even though he's in the beginning, he's watching Terminator 1.
Mm.
Anyway.
Anyways.
All right, Alex, number five.
My number five, well, you know, in these movies, the parents of the protagonists are usually unobservant and maybe even naive. But these parents are just straight up stupid. Just, are you fucking kidding me, really? You let Sean Astin talk, you, convince you, gaslight you into thinking you fostered a kid from Estonia? Oh my gosh. I mean, I guess he talked them into letting him dig his own pool in the backyard, so.
he probably doesn't even know he's digging a pool in his backyard.
Yeah, they probably don't know.
They scream for help and the mom closes the blinds in their face.
Yeah.
It's stupid, but I love it.
Yes. Let's goddamn these parents. No, yeah, I kind of do remember this now. Yeah, I'm remembering now. Like, no, you're not.
Don't tax his gig so hard, Custer.
Yeah, Custer.
All right, Scott, number five.
Number five is the sauce on the Espanol. So I loved when he drank the salsa bowl. Like, Ben Fraser really sells that. Like,
yeah.
If he was actually drinking salsa, that'd be awesome, but I doubt it. But yeah, just his expressions, it kind of came out of left field that he did that. But then when the cholo comes up to him and he just spits back the, what's the line? El queso es viejo.
Es viejo y podrido.
Donde está el sanitario. Yeah.
You're right, S.A.
You're worth it, S.A. So yeah, like the Spanish came back and him drinking the, that bar was weird, by the way.
It was jamming for fucking midday weekday, middle of the day on a weekday.
I like that. Like half of it was like, yeah, like cholos, and the other half was just random people. Like I don't think people that go to bars in the middle of the day. I don't think it works that way. What do I know? And Encino's a wild place, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. You want to be a man whistle?
This may be higher up on your list, but what is worse? The cholos in this talking like Pauly Shore, or the old men, the old grandpas at the end of Son-in-Law talking like Pauly Shore. It's both so cringeworthy.
No, that's an easy one. The end of Son-in-Law. Yeah, that's way worse. That's a million times worse. Got
some granny.
I still feel bad for that guy. Lane Smith had to. I just picture him like going straight to his trailer after that and just opening up a bottle of Jack, like
fires his engine.
Where's my check?
I'm just like, what have I become? I felt like in this, it's like, okay, they're playing up the stereotype and whatever. But I couldn't wait for that to get over, by the way. I'm like, all of a sudden this turned into like the Pauly Shore show. Like, yes, he was like kind of dominating scenes with the weird stuff he's saying, but there's just no point to that whole thing other than just to get Pauly Shore some stuff. Although it is funny that they wind up like going home with him, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Now let's get some grinding. Yeah, what does the grandpa say?
Yeah, he's back or something like that, but he really holds out. Why don't you just cheat? That is the cringiest, most hilarious thing I've ever seen in my life. Oh, man, let's move on before I freaking die.
Alright.
I'm depressed now that you brought that up again. I've never seen a scene where I felt worse for the actors.
All right, well, my number four is when they go to, well, I don't know what they call it in the movie, but Magic, when they go to Magic Mountain.
It's called The Mountain.
The Mountain. So for those who don't know, that's the Six Flags here in L.A. Like I said, it's in the Valley. And that was 92, when I was a teenager, like that was the park. I was over at Disneyland. That's where all the roller coasters were. And so I just thought it was awesome. And then they called it the Vapor, but it's really Viper. And I think it was the newest coaster at the time.
Yeah, that was their marquee.
It was badass. I remember working the courage up to go on that thing when I was a kid.
Yeah, the Viper's awesome.
But all that, and just them running around all the rides and everything, except I don't remember going there and just being nothing but, like, hotties and bikinis around the entire time you were there.
That yeah, was like, even on the roller coaster, like, like behind them. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, anytime Magic Mountain shows up, just like it does in the beginning of Step by Step. Remember
that? On the beach.
Yeah, right next to the ocean. Right next to the ocean.
That's some good compositing there. Yeah.
It was cutting edge back then. Jesus.
I'm glad I got to do Magic Mountain, like, in, I think I went my senior year in high school with some friends, because the thought of going now just
no, I couldn't.
I could not. Now. Yeah, no, I would die.
No.
The roller coaster at DCA is enough for me now. I love it, but that's kind of my limit.
Yeah, no, that's like a coin flip for me walking off of that one to like vomit. Yeah, yeah.
All right, Alex, number four.
My number four is, the spontaneous school dance. It was mandatory in the 90s to have one of these if you're having a high school
man, I movie. I want there to be like a timeline of these to see who came first and just see which ones came after it.
Dirty Dancing.
Nah, Teen Wolf's before Dirty Dancing.
Oh, really?
Well, Dirty Dancing's not a high school movie, though.
That's true too.
And that was that whole movie was about dancing, by the way. So that makes sense that they'd actually. But
we have Rad and Teen Wolf.
this Rad. Okay, yeah, I'll count Rad. Mike Danson. Yeah,
that's the most ridiculous.
The last one I remembered was Orange County.
I've never
finished that movie. I think I saw the beginning of it.
There was one right before that with Freddie Prinze Jr. and Claire Forlani, where they're in college, but they go to a club and there's a choreographed dance.
Oh, and so the guy has a hook for a hand.
Yeah,
and he knows what he did last summer. No,
mm-hmm. While drinking his juice in the hood.
But anyways, yeah, choreographed dance.
But yeah, choreographed dancing that he got from television. What was it? I think it was an Aboriginal dance from a documentary.
Yeah.
Something like that while he was flipping channels on the TV. Like that, yeah, but he made it his own. Dave, who watched this?
I know.
Joins in.
That was cringy when he does it.
It's like, oh, Jesus.
And they cut away and they cut back and they're just like random people like doing the dance better than him.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Scott, number four.
Number four. So we just talked about like fucked up things with the actors having to do that stuff, but when he calls her from the police, I'm assuming it's the police station.
He says prison, by the way.
Yeah, I doubt they took him to county jail, but it's he asks her to prom. And in a big romantic gesture, which I actually kind of liked, he's like, I got my one phone call. Please go to the prom with me. And she says, no, understandably, given that he's done nothing to like, almost nothing to warrant any real affection from her.
Mm-hmm.
But her then asking him to ask Link is like one of the most fucked up things I think you could ever like say to another human being. Like, I almost understand then, like, why Dave tries to get rid of him after that.
Yeah, just gives him, like, a sock full of quarters for Redmobile.
But that, like, as awful as Dave is in this movie, and we'll get to that in a second, I'm sure, like, her doing that makes her, like, as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
Like, this whole time she took this moral, she's kind of taking this moral stand about, what's his face, Deloise being a jerk. She doesn't want anything to do with him at that point. But yeah, then she's like, "Is that Simpsons moment rips out his heart. You won't be needing this."
Yeah. Drop kicks it into the drain.
Like, oh man. Like, that's one of the most brutal things I've ever seen happen in a movie.
Yeah, this is a hard R moment.
Yeah. So that's my number four. That's what it felt like, pointing out that does nothing for her character.
No.
Remember Pan's Labyrinth where the guy's teeth got knocked out? This is worse.
And by the way, when they go running into the bar to get Link after they Mahoney'd it for a while.
Yeah.
They're holding hands, too. Like, I don't remember that. Like,
yeah, that was weird.
Like, they're both holding hands like they're a couple, and there's a thing like, wait, when did this happen? Apparently it didn't, but from that scene, I don't know.
I guess
Mikey grabbed her hand, and I...
Like, it was just kind of a... Maybe it was her flirting with him, because she's like, okay, he dove in the car, maybe he's not so bad, and then, like... And then she was totally down to, like, start dancing atop of bar tops, which... Red flag, but... Anyway.
Alright. My number three, it's just the one line, and this didn't... I never noticed this in the movie, but I think it's Romero, one of our friends, brought it up, and it's the... You can't tell anybody about the caveman. Can I tell Steve Coozer?
Oh, damn it. I should have put Steve Coozer on the thumb side.
I don't remember which one of us who started saying that. I'll give it to Romero, but I don't know who it was. I freaking die. Like, was one of those things where you've always heard of the movie, you never paid attention, and someone says it, and you know exactly what he's talking about? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I tell Steve Coozer?
It's just a stupid throwaway line. We do quote that every once in a while, yeah.
That's it. That's my number three. Alex.
My number three, and this was a pretty heart-wrenching moment for me now as an adult and a dad, but when Link has his epiphany at the museum, Brendan Fraser does some really good work here. It's a short scene in this, you know, fun quasi-boner comedy of the 90s, but yeah, him just, you know, realizing that everybody that he knows is dead. He's here all alone, and he's trying to make, you know, a fire again. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah. I agree. I don't know what the bad guy thinks. I don't know. Anyway.
He's a caveman.
He's a caveman. So stupid. All right. Scott, number three.
Number three, as we've been saying, Dave is not a good guy.
He's not.
So, like, he's going to use Link, Brendan Fraser, mm-hmm. to get what he wants. Mm-hmm. And then the whole time, it's just, you know, what can he get out of it? He is kind of a creep. he's got her picture.
We've been naked together. It's like, gee.
Yeah, that was weird. In his room, he's got her picture. Like a recent picture too, which is also kind of weird. Mm-hmm.
And it's not funny like in Better Off Dead where he has the cardboard cutouts on all of his shirts in his closet with the hooks. It's not ha-ha funny.
And he tries to get rid of him. If not for Pauly Shore, who's like the more ethical, moral of the two. Mm-hmm. Then he just would have like wandered off, and that would have been it. And then he somehow gets the girl at the end. I still don't know what he did, because they did
kill a bunch of younglings.
Like, yeah, probably. So she picks up the Polaroids, and she's like, "Oh, I understand now." It does not explain like why she's like all of a sudden into him, like because he danced once. Dave's also just dumb. Like, I'm not talking about like the movie logic here, where they think it's cool to thaw out a caveman in the garage. Like, I don't know how they thought that was going to end well. I'm not even talking about him coming back to life. But
yeah.
Like she's like Jeff pointed out, she's walking into the bar with him, like arm in arm, and she's like, "Come on, let's dance." And he's like, "No, I don't want to dance." I'm like, "You moron." Like, be bringing it on yourself when she says no.
Yeah.
Like, not.
God, that's very relatable to some of my high school moments. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I'm getting ready to, when I'm getting ready to go to bed, oh man, time for some sleep, sack time. One of those moments pops into my head and like, fuck, I can't sleep for the whole night.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yep, been there. As we all have, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Except for Jeff, who was like peak cool in 1992.
Yeah.
You just reminded me of my. I remember waiting in line. Well, we were in different groups, but for Phantom Menace, right? We're all in front of the big movie theater, and everyone's waiting in line. This cute girl came up, walked up to me. She's like, "Hey, would you like an extra ticket and sit next to me in the movie?" And I was just like, "No, I'm with my friends, sitting with them."
Why would I want that?
Seriously, it didn't even like. Oh my god! And I came back and like, "What did you want?" And I told them, "Like, you fucking idiot!" Started screaming at me. I was like, "God damn!"
You're like, "Look, lady, I'm standing out here. Why do you think I don't already have a ticket?" Jesus yeah. Christ, get away from me!
And this wasn't high school. This was college. So yeah, there you go.
God. But then you met her again. It's Laura, right? Turned out to be Laura.
No, I don't think she'd ever go to a Star Wars movie.
Loves to Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, stupid. All right, where are we at here?
So that was my number three.
All right, so we're on to my number two, and that's Pauly Shore. For better or for worse, he's a big part of this movie. He annoys me, but he also makes me laugh, so I had to put him on here. The way he's dressed, his stupid saying, like we talk about the scene with dinner. If I had the whole Brady Bunch thing going on at my house, I'd go grind over there. So don't tax my gig so hardcore, Chris. English, Stanley. Yeah, like, what the fuck?
The funny thing is, he's not even like the least age appropriate person for that appears in this movie too. Like, so they somehow managed to like have people around him that didn't make him look as old as he actually was.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm in high school movies. I guess
right. I mean, that's like they're not doing anything that a ton of other movies like that have.
Yeah,
done, but just like yeah, they did a good job of like making him not stand out that way. Anyways,
yeah. And like you said, I mean, as big of a creep Dave is, his character really isn't. Link is like I want to be his friend. I'm not trying to use him and all that stuff. So he actually is the moral center, kind of in a way, of this movie, even though he's fucking annoying as hell.
Yep. And we've talked more about Pauly Shore in this movie, or on this movie, on this podcast. I think I'm trying to think of another actor that we've broken down the way we have Pauly Shore's impact on pop culture and movies in general. It's
we've only done two of his movies. We have a few more to go.
I know. We
got to do. You're in the army now. You, jury duty.
No, we really.
Pauly Shore is dead.
Biodome.
I would do Biodome. I don't think I would do Biodome. I wouldn't do the other ones, but I would do Biodome.
I don't know the other ones. Really, the only one I ever knew was Pauly Shore. I mean, was Encino Man. Until the last few years when I met Laura, because she loves watching Son-in-Law on Thanksgiving. So I had never even seen that until a few years ago.
The only thing I remember about In the Army Now is, besides Laura Petty's in it, is I think his girlfriend at the beginning of the movie is a lot of vagina.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But anyway.
I don't remember.
All right. Well, Alex, number two.
My number two is some movies are made... They make it or they fail based on their villain. And Matt is a great heel.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's so hateable. He's so punchable, but he also does some just hilarious shit. His delivery on lines is great. Like the meme gif we already talked about. But even when he's doing the speech at prom. Shush!
Yeah, shush!
Want to know what he is? He's a caveman. Everybody cheers. No! No! He hates it. Well, that's great.
Yeah, and when they're doing a lot of paint-by-numbers, like generic high school bullshit, like how Sean Astin's aspiration is to go to prom, you know, just barely a reason to do anything. Like, yeah, DeLuise managed to kind of elevate the character a little bit. Yeah.
All right, Scott, number two.
All right. My number two... is Brendan Fraser here? Is a lot of fun. He's the one that really
China.
Yeah, a lot of China. Yeah, without him, I don't think this movie works on any level. You know, you're able to get away with like shoehorning in all the Pauly Shore stuff, the wacky plot, the generic high school stuff, the fact that Dave's not really all that likable, and I don't think it's really anything Sean Astin's doing wrong with it, by the way. But yeah, I think Brendan Fraser is again really good here, considering he barely has any like intelligible lines. So yeah, I don't know what else to really say here. Like all the expressions he's doing, a lot of just physical stuff he's doing is really funny, and it kind of draws you in. It's basically any scene without him, almost all of it sucks. Right? So he again is really the one kind of carrying this movie.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
There, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry. I agree. I was coughing. I muted myself. On to my number one, and that would be the 90s style in this movie. Like I said, Pauly Shore stands out. No one dressed like that. I don't know what they were doing with Brendan Fraser's character. It was like a cross between Pauly Shore and...
I think they were really trying to, like... This was like an old person's take on what skaters should look like.
Yeah, or like, this is early 90s, so this is what the 90s are going to turn into type thing. Maybe trying to set that style. Mm. But like Matt, I mean, he felt like he was out of Beverly Hills 90210, right? The sideburns and the spiky hair. Like, he felt 90s-ish to me, right? The way that the Sean Astin and the other kids were just wearing jeans, t-shirts with the opened-up button tee. Like, that felt very 90s to me. So a lot of it felt 90s to me, good or bad. And it's Pauly Shore did not. But that's his character, so that's fine.
I mean, a lot of the hair, again, was kicking my ass. The main love interest, her prom dress was definitely a something of that time period.
Yeah.
I actually kind of like the, I wouldn't call it a tuxedo, but what Link was wearing to the prom anyway. Yeah.
So I thought most of the 90s stuff, I think they got right. I feel what good, like I said, good or bad. It stuck out to me. And the music, I don't remember the music, but there's some good stuff in there. It's a Metallica.
There was that video, the music video that he's watching Link when he first gets into the house. It's by a band called Sacred Reich.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Never heard of them. Mm. If they made it up for the movie, that's super weird. Well, I guess I'm gonna Google this because we have the power of the internet.
And I said Metallica. It's not Metallica. They play a Metallica cover on here. No, there's not like Stone Cold. Now I'm gonna go crazy here.
Okay, so Sacred Reich is an American thrash metal band. So they are a real thing. Okay.
Wow.
Alright, well, Stone Cold Crazy actually is written by Queen, but Metallica does a cover. And I think it was a different cover in the movie. Now I don't remember.
It's goddamn music.
Alright, Alex, number one.
My number one is the three main characters. I think they have Pauly Shore, Sean Astin, and Brendan Fraser have really good chemistry together. They looked like they were having a good time making the film, which is always good because that energy kind of transfers to me as the audience. I thought they except for Dave just being a super creep and the other ones, you know, pretty much wrestling him into being a better person by the end of the movie. And he changes a little, I guess. So, yeah. They had good balance, good chemistry. I liked watching them on screen. But yeah, as Scott said, any scene without Brendan Fraser in it, with the three of them, then it was like a little ziffy.
All right, Scott, number one.
Number one, okay. I've been champing at the bit to get to the whole swimming pool thing. It bothered me for the entire movie. Like, I was thinking about it for the entire hour and a half. it's like, yeah, if a caveman gets frozen however many, like, I like that they didn't actually give, like, a date, but frozen for thousands of years, somehow perfectly fine when he thaws out in Encino, and I'll even let it slide that they're, like, learning about that period at the exact same time they find this this body and, like, learning all this stuff about glaciers, and that's all bullshit, but, mm-hmm. Well, at least the part about, oh, you find stuff in Encino, but and then they happen to go on to the field trip to the museum too. But anyways, I'll let all that slide. The swimming pool though just blows my mind. It's like, for starters, like you said, Alex, what kind of fucking parents would be like, you want a swimming pool? Well, go dig one. Like, and that
maybe they didn't think he would actually do
it. And that assumes. That even assumes that he would know what to do to build the whole thing, which he clearly doesn't. Nope. It bothered me that he was out there in the morning before school, like, you know, sweating his ass off, getting dirt all over himself. That made no sense. Like, who would do that? What kind of psychopath?
That's why he was unpopular. Yeah. Pauly Shore was his only friend.
Yeah. Like the swimming pool, like,
you're friends with Pigpen, man.
Could see that, like, he dug the vague shape of a swimming pool, like, where he had the deep end and everything. But, mm-hmm. like, it was clear that he had no way to get rid of the rocks or that root down there. Like, I'm gonna assume the house was already zoned for, like, you know, it's like old man. I'm gonna assume that the house was zoned for a swimming pool and that, like, they got it clear, you know, not gonna hit any gas lines or anything like that. But, like, yeah, it did not make any sense. And then the way I remember the movie was that he somehow managed magically, like, over the span of a couple weeks, like, finished the whole thing. The fact that he just filled it with water for no reason is even worse.
Yeah.
Like, why did he do that? Like, why would he fill it with water? That makes...
To go swimming.
So little sense. And then...
But wasn't there a rain scene?
Yeah.
It filled up with rainwater, Scott.
Oh, and then a bunch of dead bodies started popping out of it. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. caskets started floating up. Yeah, and then the party goes back to their house, which again, like, the parents... Like, as I was pointed out, we're absentee. mm-hmm. But these kids jumping into this dirty-ass water. Like, there's nothing but dirt back there and a couple of chairs. Like, and everybody's partying back there.
It's a worm, and, Michael. He's got worms. Yeah.
And I get it. High school kids, like, they don't care. But, like...
Like, as Scott or Alex said in the documentary, they were literally doing slip and slide and poo. So...
Yeah, people were...
Train wreck. That was the name of the documentary.
But they're in the valley where people typically have more money. Like, they could have found a better place to land. Anyway. But yeah, just... I don't see, like, the whole swimming pool thing. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, the only way it makes sense to me was, like, if they're like, you dig it enough, then we'll pay for the rest. But that just doesn't even make sense, because if a landscaper came by, they'd be like, no, we have to do it, like, in a certain way.
Yeah.
Like, you dug in the wrong spot. We got to fill in, like, we got to fill in half of it. Like, it's utterly baffling. And it makes, like, other than the fact that it's kind of a centerpiece at the very end, it makes no sense. Like...
Well, how else were they going
to
find
Link? The caveman, yeah. I mean, that's why he did it, is to dig deep to get the caveman. I mean, that's mm-hmm. why they did it, but...
They could have done so many other, like, ways to do that.
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned hole digging.
Yeah. But the scouts, the film scouts, found a house that had, like, a half-dug pool out in the backyard. Hey, can you delay building your pool so we can film here? We'll give you $50,000. Okay. That's what it was.
Could have been, I suppose. yeah, just... There's like five earthquakes in the movie.
I know, the earthquakes are a little ridiculous.
it would have been super easy for him to be like, turn him into like some nerd that's like he collects rocks or whatever, and he's on the, like the hill on the side of his house, and he falls into a hole, and then oh, there's the yeah, like get into so many other things. At some point, I had figured out a way to include Short Round in all this to make it make more sense, but I forget like what my reasoning was behind that.
What, did he have chains around his leg and he was pickaxing the rocks in the pool or what?
Exactly. You had to find the...
Shinkara stone?
Yeah,
Shinkara. Link, I love you.
Link, listen.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's all I got. I've never run out of steam on this. The swimming pool.
All right. That's it. Any honorable mentions?
The I think she's credited as Cave Nug, but the
Jeeves,
but
yeah.
But the like Link's original girlfriend and ever like it's that was Sandra Hess, who the only thing I remember seeing her in was Mortal Kombat 2. She took over the role for Sonya Blade from Bridget Wilson. But, Anyway, yeah, we mentioned Short Round. We mentioned the Mahoney thing.
Mm-hmm. Radmobile.
Yeah, the Mahoney, and I want to make sure we mention that again.
Like how easy it was to get this kid registered for school was kind of funny. Yeah, that was one of the things I'm like, yeah, I don't think about it.
Well, that's what I was telling Laura. Like, he's registering for school, and it's prom, so he's going to be there for like 4 weeks, and then summertime? Mm-hmm.
Well, he finished most of his schooling in Estonia.
Yeah, sure. And the fact that they put... Why would the school have his freaking dog... Why would they have... That didn't make sense either when Matt was snooping on his paperwork. And why would the school accept the dog stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Don't think about it.
He's a caveman. All right.
He's a caveman.
Let's, as usual, we're going to rate on a scale of 1 to 7. 1 being garbage, 7 being perfection. So all 7s, right? No. Okay. I'm going to give this a 6, and I can't believe I'm going to do it. I still really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I would definitely keep watching this. I 100% admit, if I had never seen this, and you guys made me watch this, it would be like a 3 or 2 or something. But, hey.
Since you picked it, it's all right.
I picked it.
Let's see how it is. Yeah.
And I saw it when I was like 14 originally that that's what it is. So, 6 for me. Alex.
I'm going to give this a 5. Yeah, still a lot of fun. A lot of stuff that we still quote to this day. And, yeah, it's only rated PG, so I think I can show with the boys this movie.
There's a lot of stuff with can't the Gazanga. Can't wait to watch it with the boys. Some stuff, there's some Gazanga jokes. They're gonna have
Some cones, Gazangas.
Oh, that's fine. They're all into the pee-pee jokes now, so they're fine.
Alright. Scott, what do you get this movie?
Give this a 4. I
why are you texting this movie's game so hard, Custer?
Yeah, I think you just answered your own question. yeah, I'm good on Pauly Shore for a while. It's cute. All like a lot of the stuff with Brendan Fraser reacting to things. Like the fish out of water element is fun, but yeah, just on the whole, yeah, I just wasn't super into this movie. I'm glad it was only like an hour and a half. They were smart to keep it that way. Yeah, 4.
All right.
Jeff's coughing.
Yeah.
So why Jeff's coughing?
God damn it.
Something real quick. Just to use a term I haven't used in a while to peel back the curtain. Jeff gives us so much shit about the movies that we suggest, me and Alex. So it's very funny to me that Jeff is like, yeah, I love this movie, but if one of you guys have
Yeah,
I'm honest about it.
No, you are. Yeah. No, it is funny.
Double standards.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, isn't Brendan Fraser in the news right now for, like, doing really good in this whale movie or whatever? And, like, yes. Oscar nod, yeah. Yeah, Oscar talk and everything? Good for him.
Yeah, there's some, like, darker stuff involved with that, too. We won't get into here, but...
Oof, yeah.
The Hollywood Foreign Press, Fraser's not a fan, so he wouldn't actually show up to collect the award if that happened.
All right, well, what about the Oscars?
I don't know. I think they're kind of one and the same, aren't they? But I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay, it's time for... No, we gotta do a crossover topic, which
It's time for a crossover topic.
Yeah, top five convenience store scenes. So as we talked about, Wheezing the Juice, that was in here. So what other times were a convenience store used for stuff? And I'll just... go right out and start with Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Something's afoot. The Circle K.
Oh, damn it. That would have... Ah, okay, good pull.
Yeah.
Strange. Forgot about that.
Circle K. Yeah, there you go. That's when the phone booth shows up with George Carlin.
What number are we thinking of?
69. 69.
Excellent.
All right, that's my number five. Alex.
My number five is Shaun of the Dead. When you see Shaun going through his routine the first time around, he goes gets the cornetto and everything, and then the next day, when you see him blurry in the background, but you know they're fucking zombies, and he goes through the same routine, but, you know, with the zombie lens through everything, that was just a great sequence.
Nice. I did not think of that. Very good. Scott.
Scott, number five.
All right. My number five. Just real quick, I almost did my top five cavemen, and then I'm glad I double-checked what the actual topic was going to be.
Phil Hartman, as caveman lawyer. As we
posted on one of our show docs, I double-checked. And Phil Hartman would definitely be down here. But I managed to salvage the actual list here. Right. So my number five is from a recent movie, fairly recent, Shazam. When he goes to buy the beer, that whole sequence is pretty funny. When he walks in, like your finest beer, but he's got to be dressed in the full on like Shazam suit. Yeah. When he does it, and then he stops a robbery, and they drink the beer outside, and they both immediately spit it out because they're both kids, and beer is an acquired taste. So so that was my number five, Shazam.
All right. Now my number four, I need a ruling. Is S-Mart a convenience store or more of a?
It's a big box store.
All right. So then I won't do that. I will do the scene from RoboCop. When he torches the gas station. That's more of a gas station, but there's a convenience store involved. And...
Yeah, I would count that.
Yeah. So, yeah. I forgot the guy's name. The guy who gets eventually disintegrated with toxic waste.
Help me.
Yeah. From RoboCop is my number four. Mm-hmm. Alex, number four.
My number four is from our favorite National Lampoon's movie, Loaded Weapon 1. Oh, that scene. When he stops the robbery and they milk the slow motion fall through the windows. That was great.
Yeah, I thought about that one.
You should think about it again.
I should.
I thought of another one from a movie we just did that someone might mention. I don't know. We'll see. Scott, number four.
Number four is Fight Club. Speaking of gas station convenience store. Yeah, that little sequence where they... fighting outside, and I can't remember if it happens in the same sequence, but they are fighting outside. He hits him in the air, and then they go inside and pull the gun on like the clerk and tell him he needs to go back to college.
outside of a bar, but then they go to the
to the convenience store.
That sounds right. Yeah,
And by they fight, he fights himself. Spoilers. All right, my number three is from a Simpsons episode. I don't remember which one, but they go on a little vacation, and Homer wants to buy illegal fireworks.
Yeah, this is great.
And he goes into the convenience store, but he has to like make it smooth, so he's just like, I'll have a bottle of Old Harper, box of condoms, and I forgot what else he orders. Illegal fireworks.
Porno mags, illegal fireworks. And what, give me those, one of those extra large enemas. You know what? Make it two.
And the other guy's like, we don't have one. There's another customer in there that wants to leave. Follow me. But the best later was when Marge is unpacking the groceries. Oh, Homer, I don't know what you have planned for tonight. Leave me out.
Yeah. That's great.
Oh, God. So, oddly enough, out of all the Simpsons, it wasn't an Apu. It wasn't from the Quickie Mart. It was a different Mart.
Oh, I got a Quickie Mart one.
As do I.
Later on my list.
What episode was that, Alex?
That was the one where Lisa makes friends during the summer because nobody knows who she is. Like, she's a big nerd, so she, redoes her whole identity to be, like, a cool kid.
But why are Bart and Marge Simpson, where are they?
They're just at the Flanders' summer beach house because they couldn't use it.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, our Alex number three.
My number three is from Clerks. And I know there's the whole movie is in a freaking convenience store and a video store, but it's mostly the convenience store. And my favorite scene, not my favorite, but maybe my favorite. It was one because it put a twist on Star Wars that I had never thought about before. And that's when they were talking about all the other people that the rebels killed when the Death Star blew up. Like all the plumbers and all the carpenters and engineers and stuff. Yeah. The contractors. And they're like, yeah. But then a real contractor comes in and is like, hey, you know what? There was a job over here, but I didn't want to take it because of personal politics. And he's like, oh, okay. It's like, hey, I never thought about this. So there you go.
Yeah, I agree. I have more to say about Clerks later.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Salsa Shark. R Shark.
Scott, number three.
Number three is Gross Point Blank.
Oh, that's good.
The shootout they have in the... realistically, the kid playing whatever it was.
Was it Mortal Kombat?
But he's got headphones on, magical headphones. Yeah. The whole place gets shot up. They blow up the microwave with some like C4. And there's the subplot about how that was where his old house used to be. And it got...
yeah.
His old house got removed, and now the place is blown up. And how upset the clerk is. Like, where am I going to find a job? Gross Point Blank.
Nice. Mine's from the beginning of From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, yeah. Let me Harvey Keitel you something.
Harvey Keitel? Isn't that in that part? This is with...
he's in the movie.
Oh, he's in the movie, yeah. But yeah, the scene where... What's his face? The sheriff comes in, and meanwhile the Vega brothers are in there and the hostage, and they shoot a big shootout, and then they blow up with the behind them and all that good stuff. So, From Dusk Till Dawn, my number two.
Gotta watch that movie.
Alex,
my number two is my Simpsons Quickie Mart scene, where James Woods is doing research for a role, so he's taking over the Quickie Mart for a bit. And Snake is sticking up at the place.
It wasn't Snake. And so
Snake?
It was just like a one-off character.
Really? Damn. Yeah. I could have sworn it was Snake.
It was not Snake.
Okay. Anyways, he's going to shoot James Woods. And then Apu bravely, slow motion, dives in front of him and takes the bullet for him. Which was a miracle. Because the bullet actually ricocheted off of another bullet that was already lodged inside his body, which saved his life.
Well, the sweet kiss of hot lead.
Yeah, now I missed you. I think I'm dying.
I do not remember that at all.
So that's hilarious. Before that, when Jimbo's in the store, and James Woods makes him like rate his performance, and Jimbo says, to be honest, it felt a little labor.
Give an honest critique. Let's take that from itself. Yeah, I mean, hey, come back here. Okay, now, I'm me and you're you. I'm me.
Yeah. then
poor Jim.
And it wasn't just because we're talking about it. It wasn't at the Quickie Mark anymore, but at the hospital. James Wood says, "Well, I'm off to fight space aliens." And Marge says, "Oh, that sounds like a great movie." James Wood says, "Oh, yes, a movie.
A movie."
All right, yeah, Scott, number two.
My number two is Simpsons, and it's like the first. Is this the first Big Apu episode? But Homer's got to wear the giant hat, which is just hilarious. The foam cowboy hat. But when he
I think we're talking about the same.
Episode. Was it the same episode with James Woods?
Yeah, because that's how Apu gets fired.
That's right. Okay, Jesus. Okay. And yet I know it wasn't Snake somehow. But yeah, I forget how Homer loses his hat, but the hot dog falls on the ground.
Oh, it's because there was a bee in it. There was some buzzing coming over your head. I think there's a bee in it. And he smashes it.
And then yeah, the hot dog falls on the floor and Apu just looks into it. I'll just put this back. It's just between me and you, comically oversized cowboy hat. Yeah. And then Brockman in their whatever van. It's like, we got it. Like, where'd Homer go? And on the footage, the security cam, you see Homer running back inside to like buy that same hot dog that just fell.
Hot dog, please.
Nice. All right, on to my number one. But before I do that, correction, I said the Vega brothers from Dust Till Dawn. I was totally wrong. That's not the Vega brothers. I forgot what their name was in this, but that's... Okay. It was the Vega brothers. That's John Travolta's character and the other guy from...
Oh, from Reservoir Dogs.
Ooh. Yes, Reservoir Dogs. Michael Madsen's character. Yeah. Anyway, my number one is just the movie Clerks, because I couldn't pick a scene from it. yeah, the Star Wars scene, the 37 in a row, the salsa shark.
Hey, you get back here.
Yeah, the stupid complaints by the customers. What do you mean no? You had no ice? I had to drink my coffee hot. Just all that dumb stuff the customers say.
The milkmaids.
Yeah, the milkmaids. The whole movie.
Dead guy in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
I just can't believe we still haven't done that movie yet. We have to do it.
I can't believe we haven't either. Huh. All right, then.
But yeah, Clerks is my number one. I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah.
All right, Alex, number one.
My number one, jeebus, it's a movie that I've only seen once, and it's a hard watch, but it's so damn good I might have to watch it again now that I remembered the scene, but... No Country for Old Men. The convenience store scene with the old man.
Tense.
Oh my gosh, and he's eating that candy bar. And there's even like a really good laugh out loud part where the old man is telling him that, oh, this is my wife's father's store. And he starts choking on the snack that he's eating. And she's like, you married into this? Like, this is your life? He's like, okay. I'm going to flip this coin and I'm going to do you a favor.
Friendo. Yeah.
He's like, oh, he flips the coin and it's like, oh, it's your lucky day. And he's like, don't put it in your pocket. He was deadly serious. He said, don't put it in your pocket. It's going to get mixed up with all the other coins. He's like, that's your lucky coin. That's special. Oh, man. Oh, such a great scene. Adrian Bardem, I love you.
Javier.
Javier Bardem. Him too.
All right, Scott, number one.
My number one is Clerks. Specifically the Death Star conversation, which I think is probably easily the most, I don't know if famous is the right word, but the kind of the go-to thing from Clerks.
That and the dicks.
Yeah, it was a clever ruse, man.
I'm sorry, what? Ruse? Your cunning attempt to deceive me?
Alright. Any honorable mentions? I was expecting someone to pick the convenience store scene from Stone Cold. No one did that.
I thought that was a grocery store.
Yeah, that's a supermarket.
Oh, alright. Well, then what about Cobra?
Cobra. Yeah. I thought about Cobra, then I was like, eh, I think that's a grocery store, too.
Yeah, that's a grocery store.
Bah! All right. Well, then we got it.
What honorable mention for Superbad?
Yeah. You don't want to think girls suck. You suck at fucking pussy.
All I'm saying is she looks like she fucks good.
I heard it's full of hops.
Oh, yeah, that one, too.
Oh, yeah, I can get Milk Glovin in there, too. Yeah, that's right.
Gets knocked out.
All right. Well, with that, now it's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
There's some pretty sad news this week, but to keep it a little bit lighter, I know, it's a tragedy. It sucks, and there should be more safeguards in football. But anyways, there's a pretty heartwarming scene where Alex Ovechkin scores his second goal in the game for the Capitals, and he goes and celebrates over with his son. That's just a great little moment.
And then he
that they captured.
He told him how great the USSR was.
Ugh. No, he did not.
Yeah.
but I guess he is second only to Gretzky in most multi-goal games. So that's impressive.
I don't know about that, but he just passed Gordie Howe. So now he's second all-time in goals scored behind Gretzky.
Okay.
And if he stays healthy, then he will pass him in like about 3 years probably.
In goals, though, not points, right?
Goals, yes. Mm-hmm. So it's like the record's like 890-something. And yeah, he just got 802. He scored two more tonight. I don't know if that's what you were talking about, Alex, but he scored like two or not, yeah. So, yeah, he'll get there. As long as he stays healthy.
And Gretzky has 189 multi-goal games. And
no, he does.
I'm looking at the stats right now from ESPN.
Multi-goal games.
Yes, where he scored more than one goal
in a game. How many did you say?
189.
189, okay, sorry.
Yeah, and Ovechkin has 165.
Gotcha.
So there's still some time to go, some games to play, but yeah, he might do it.
So just you're talking about sad stuff happened in football. The other football, I think it's worth mentioning that Pele passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Over the holidays. So,
R.I.P.
You know, I the one name everybody knows from soccer. Mm-hmm. Like now there's a couple other names. Like,
and Maradona.
Like, yeah, like some of those names, Maradona. You know, now Messi and Ronaldo. Mm-hmm.
Ronaldo.
But, yeah, like, Pele is still widely considered to be, like, the greatest ever. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. I remember my dad would always tell me, like, the two biggest sports stars in the world, not America, the world, were, like, Muhammad Ali and Pele.
Yep.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I don't know why I would doubt it.
So I was reading one of the articles they wrote after Pele passed, and they mentioned back in the late 70s, 80s, you know, one of the times when they tried to get soccer going here in America professionally, they would actually, like, sell out in, like, New York, like, crowds of, like, 70,000 when Pele was in the, whatever the U.S. League was called at that point. And as soon as he left, it was just, like, basically the league died. Like, that's how much star power he had that like, people would come to, like, watch this guy. Like, and there's, like, some crazy shit about how there was, like, a ceasefire in, I forget which country it was, between, like, there's, like, countries of civil war in Africa, and they basically had a ceasefire so they could watch Pele play for a couple days. Like it's crazy, like, some of the stuff, like, heads of state would go out of their way to, like, meet this guy. Like, not the other way around. Like, all over the world. Again, sad news.
All right. And with that, it's time for Niamh News.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. So, some other bad news, but seems to be doing better. I don't know if you guys heard about Jeremy Renner.
Oof, yeah.
So, I think it's from today. He was feeling well enough that he, like, tweeted a picture of himself in the hospital.
And, oh, that's good.
And so, yeah, if he's, like, functional enough to do that, then that's a good sign. But, yeah, that sounded, like, I kind of glossed over the details, but it sounded horrible. Like, your snowplow accident.
Yeah, I know.
And then critical, and then critical condition, yeah, like, does not sound good. But apparently, like, Renner's a really tough dude. I was seeing, like, John Hamm tell the story about how he, like, broke both of his arms, like, on that tag movie, whatever that was, I never watched.
Oh, yeah.
Like, early on in shooting, and still, like, finished out the movie on time. Like,
Jeez.
Anyway, so, yeah, like, seems like Renner's doing better, which is good.
That's good.
And he does, without spoiling anything, there is a tie-in to Jeremy Renner. Well, I guess this is a little spoiler. There's a tie-in to Jeremy Renner in the new Glass Onion movie, which I watched.
Oh, yeah. I watched it, too.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you said you saw it, Jeff?
Yeah, I saw it, too.
Okay, so let's talk about it for a minute.
Put that on your list.
I enjoyed it. I don't know how I feel about the kind of style of this movie where you see everything play out and then they go back and you see extended scenes of everything, which basically removes any function of as the audience of like trying to figure out what's going on, which is one of the things of whodunit. Like, not that we as an audience should be able to figure it out, but to basically have like the rug pulled out from under you like that, like I don't know how I feel about it. Like, all that said, though, I like the cast. I like the characters. Daniel Craig's great in it. I think it was a no-brainer to like center a movie around him again. Janelle Monáe, I thought, was really, really good. So she was kind of a standout from this.
Monáe.
So yeah, I enjoyed it. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I loved it. I got to get me one of those Benoit summer suits that he's got on.
Yeah, the swimsuit.
Yeah, it looked very comfortable in that. In the pool and out of the water.
I thought it was all right. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't that great. But yeah. I thought, like I said, yeah, he was really good. I thought Edward Norton was pretty good. And he said, Demone, but that, I don't know, there was some stuff. Like I said, I was trying to figure stuff out the whole time, and then it wasn't even right, and then...
This movie sucks, I didn't figure it out.
No, but like, it was weird, like, they're going to explain everything here, and like, yeah, it was... I mean, that was the point, it was supposed to be that it was so dumb that it was obvious, and...
That's genius. No, it wasn't, that was stupid.
That was just dumb.
I do like when he's like setting up the murder mystery. Oh, I know who did it.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. What do we win? Like an iPad? Yeah. No, I'm not. I don't want an iPad. To be clear. So good.
Yeah. I do feel like there needs to be at least one more of these things because I haven't had my fill of Daniel Craig doing that character.
Yeah,
I agree with that. I haven't loved either of these, but I enjoyed his performance enough that I would see another. I would still see another one.
Yeah, this guy should. Yeah, it goes from one franchise and starts another one.
Start hating on it again.
So yeah. Overall, we recommend Glass Onion and Knives Out story. Yeah. Let's see other things. A couple of reviews here. On Netflix, there's a new show called The Recruit. Which I watched over the holidays. I recommend it. It's about this kid who's basically fresh out of law school that joins the CIA counsel's office. And it's obviously a highly fictionalized version of like what the CIA does.
Yeah, because nobody knows what they
do. Yeah, yeah. And like, yeah, he gets into like some serious shit. And it's enjoyable. So I recommend that. And then I finally saw Top Gun Maverick. I know Jeff.
Me too.
I know Jeff's seen it, so yeah, you saw it, Alex.
Yeah, New Year's Day.
Oh yeah, I saw it over the holidays. So I jokingly said in one of our chats that it wasn't homoerotic enough to be a true Top Gun movie, but that it would do. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all the constant stream of callbacks to the previous Top Gun. Yeah. You know, all the jet stuff is just cool. Like that you know, taps into like the kid me that saw remember seeing Top Gun for the first time and all the dogfights and everything. And, that will always be enjoyable. There's some ultra ridiculous things about this movie. but yet I don't want to spoil too much. What did you guys think of this one?
I loved it. It was a good thrill ride.
Yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Not as good as the first, but once again, I saw this when I was 8 years old or whatever versus this, but it was still fun. I haven't watched it again since the theater, but I'll definitely buy it on digital demand or whatever. I don't know.
And yeah. And those shots from the inside of the cockpit to the jets were fucking worth it.
Yeah,
they're so there's some cool gorgeous. Stuff
there. Yeah.
Awesome.
Like the Death Star trench run.
Yes.
You got maneuver past this point. I'll drop.
Hamming it up as a stupid chief. I loved it.
Did you know, like, so they don't say, this isn't really a spoiler, but his call sign in the movie is Cyclone. They never say it.
Yeah.
And his like, whatever, right-hand man also had, I forget his, but that guy also had a call sign. Mm-hmm. It was weird, like, they went out of their way in the first Top Gun to be like, this is Jester, this is Viper.
Wolfman.
Well, I mean, for the instructors, like, the actual, well, they're all officers, technically, but the
right.
The guys in charge. But here, teachers. they didn't do that for John Hamm and the other guy.
Well, it was Strickland's call sign. Slacker?
it was dog shit.
Yeah, what was his name?
He's just a. I don't think that guy wasn't a pilot. He's just a.
Yeah, he was. I know he wasn't a pilot. A ship captain or an admiral. Or
but he has a name. It's on his badge, I think. Yeah, right?
Strickland.
Yeah.
Strickland. Yeah.
The only part I groaned in the whole movie is when the introduction of. I guess, minor spoiler, Goose's son is in the movie. And he's wearing the Hawaiian shirt playing the piano.
Yeah. It's like, all right. It was like, yeah, let's all right. We're getting this over with now. Cool, yeah. Let's get on with the rest of the movie.
I so that movie was like what, 2 hours, 2+ hours, jeez. And I still never got over Miles Teller's mustache. It just, yeah, it's
amazing,
kicking my ass.
His dad's wasn't much better.
True.
All right. Anything else?
I think I'm good. Sorry, spaced out there. Alex, anything you want to go over?
Yeah, real quick, also on Netflix, I watched The Witcher, Blood Origin. And it's a really good miniseries. It's only 4 episodes, and it delves into not so much, like, the story of the first Witcher.
This is
like,
live action, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, not the even, but the animated, like, movie is also really good. I saw that also. But, yeah, the four parts is a good story about how creatures came to be into the world of The Witcher, how they all, you know, got there and everything. And it's really good, really well done, nice and short. Like I said, 4 episodes, and they're about 40 to 45 minutes long. So definitely bingeable.
Oh, cool.
I recommend it.
Anything else you want to go over?
No, I think that's it. Oh, did we talk about? No, that came out during the holidays. What, New World, the Disney film?
No. Talking about Strange World or?
Yes, Strange World.
Cool World.
Put that on the list.
Yeah, you're gonna be sorry you said that, Jeff.
But yeah, I mean, this movie for me came out of nowhere. Did you guys see any advertisements?
I did. I heard it was not like it was getting panned before it came out.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was... I thought it was really, really good. It was okay. Maybe the reason for that is because it has the first ever, like, gay lead in a movie, so...
People are...
I don't know if Disney would, like, had too much confidence in it or anything. They just push this out. Like, okay, we're going to give you this, you know, film.
So,
but
I was going to wait until I suck up more episodes to say something, but I watched the first episode of Willow. And there's definitely some LGBTQ representation in that. More so than any other original series that I've seen on Disney Plus so far.
Cool.
It's weird that they did it with Willow, of all things.
It's stepping, even though, you know, it's getting panned, go support it, people. We need more representation. But yeah, I thought it was neat. It's a neat movie. It's not like one of their like big winners, but it's not like Black Cauldron either. It's definitely not Song of the South, I'll tell you that.
This is not Pixar, right? This is just Disney animation.
Right, this is the Disney studio.
Okay.
But it was good. It was a fun movie.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. That's it for me.
Jeff, anything you wanted to go over?
I got engaged. So that happened.
Congratulations.
I have to mention that.
He's finally stopped living in sin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not married yet, just engaged.
Yeah. I don't know how these things work.
So anyway, that happened. And then, so she said yes, thank God.
yeah, I know. There's that moment. There's a little where she's gasping and she sees the ring and is like, oh, fuck, please say yes.
but on top of that, well, so that led into, I got us a very nice bottle of champagne, and that's what we drank when we watched Knives Out. So just, that reminded me of that. So
that's
what else?
A good Chardonnay.
Yeah. We say that. So also for it was more for her birthday and to celebrate. We went to Temecula, wine country, and every time we saw a Chardonnay, we would say that. Oh, Jim, that's good Chardonnay. But as far as things we've watched, so we watched Knives Out. I went and saw Avatar 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
It is long.
The Revenge. Yep. I'm telling you, oof. Bollywood is way ahead of the game with these long movies.
Oh my God. But it's a spectacle. I would say, once again, the story is nothing spectacular, but it's got characters you like and create and a simple story, but it looks amazing. So if you guys can, I would recommend, if, like we talked about last time we did Avatar, for the spectacle, if you want to see that, go watch it. Go watch it IMAX or 3D or something. That being said, it's all that. Knives Out. I finished the Shaquille O'Neal documentary on HBO. And then we watched it. I don't know if we've talked about this in here. We had been told, but I don't know who, there's the Donut King documentary. Have you guys watched this one? Hulu.
I don't think I've heard of this.
And it's about this Cambodian refugee who came over to Southern California and started basically the donut.
The pink box.
Yeah,
right?
The pink boxes.
Yeah.
And he learned from, we had like no money. He learned from Winchell's how to make donuts, opened his own place, and then kind of opened more and more and more. And then he started being representation of other refugees coming over, taught them how to do it. And that's why in Southern California, almost, I think I said 95% of donut shops are mom and pops, and they're owned by Cambodians. And like why Dunkin' Donuts finally is starting to come back in. They tried, they would always get kicked out. I don't even know how they're doing now, but it's because we all here like our real donuts.
I'm not impressed with the DK.
Yeah, me either. They're okay. I mean, but it's like them and Krispy Kreme is like, eh.
I know.
The way the kids say it, it's mid.
I did have a a rather tasty donut at the Denver airport of all places. Over the holidays. This place called Voodoo Donuts.
Oh yeah,
supposedly Voodoo Donuts. Famous. I don't know.
Famous, yeah.
Yeah, from Portland, I think.
Okay. But anyways,
Voodoo Donuts on the way to your brother's house, Jeff.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting to stop there.
It was like a $3 or $4 donut, which is outrageous to me. But
yes.
It was tasty. That Pulp Fiction moment when he's drinking the milkshake. Like goddamn, that's a good milkshake. I don't know if it's worth $5, but That was my experience.
Reason. I got donuts.
Hey, I know you.
But yeah, just one interesting thing. Alex mentioned the pink boxes. So the reason why the boxes are all pink is because that's cheaper to make than white boxes. And so these guys are just saving every penny they could. And they even talked about, like, they were literally reusing the coffee stir straws. Like, people would use them and throw them in the trash. They'd get them and clean them off and put them back in.
Oh.
And they said, oh, wow. we learned that wasn't a good thing to do. So we stopped doing that. But all these other things.
Wink, wink. We stopped doing that.
Yeah.
But, like, no, they literally, like, from us growing out here in Orange County, LA, there's people go to, like, DK Donuts, Donut King, all the ones that we know out here. Mm-hmm. Are all started by this, you know, have somehow to do with this Uncle Tom. Not Uncle Tom.
Jesus.
Uncle Ted.
Uncle Ted.
Uncle Ted. Uncle Ted. But yeah, I recommend
it. We got a DK's around the block. Man, that place is good.
Yeah.
Same as DK. Not a DK. DK. So I called Dunkin' Donuts DK. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not actual Dunkin', yeah.
Right.
So yeah, and then I think I watched something else, but I don't remember.
Oh, I just real quick. I finally saw the Guardians Holiday Special, and I loved it.
Yeah, so, yeah. It was great.
Yeah. Really funny. I think that's everything.
Oh wait, did we watch two? Sorry, we watched two holiday movies. Christmas with the Cranks. Have you guys seen that one?
Maybe? A long time ago. I watched it once.
Yeah, it's Tim Allen and the Scream Queen. We've done like three movies.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis. So that was fun. I didn't think I'd like it. I enjoyed it. A Christmas movie.
I was thinking of The Ref. That's the one I saw.
Yeah, no, this one is
The Ref. The Ref is great, but yeah.
Their daughter's graduated. She wants to be, you know, gone for Christmas. And they're like, Tim Allen's like, F this. Let's not celebrate Christmas this year. And all the neighbors are upset about it and everything. And then hilarity stuff ensues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we watched a really bad one.
The one with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito?
No.
Yeah, that one's terrible.
I forgot the other one we watched.
It must have been great.
Home Sweet Home Alone.
Was it just like a generic...
Yeah, Hallmark.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell?
Because those are on every channel now, not just Hallmark.
Yeah, I know. Christmas Without You or Christmas with something or other. The Gift is Your Penis.
Yeah, but what was it? It was, yeah, whatever. All right, anything else for anybody?
No, we're good. On that riveting note.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
We at Hans Shop First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shop First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.